Good morning and welcome to Ashworth. It is great to see you all this morning. If you don't know, my name is Ryan Lenners and I'm a team pastor here at the church. And as we've already discussed, 2020, while it has been a wild ride, we all now know what the word derecho means. Pretty exciting, isn't it? I never thought that I'd know what that meant. And this storm, while it caused wide-scale damage across the entire state, especially that upper third, there was one silver lining that I saw as I watched this storm go by, and particularly in the aftermath, and that was that it brought out the best in Iowans. What I saw all around me were neighbors getting out chainsaws and getting out rakes and everything and helping other neighbors with what was going on all around them. My son was doing work up in Woodward that just got demolished. It's a small town. And he said that he went into the town and farmers had hopped on their tractors and just drove their tractors into town with their chainsaws. And they just started cutting up all the trees, clearing all the roads. Everybody in the entire community came together to get Woodward put back together and workable, where you could actually drive around the streets again. And those are the types of things that we love to see and hear about after a storm. I heard another story, a younger family where the dad had some sort of surgery and wasn't able to do anything. The mom had small kids and huge branches came down all over the front yard and completely blocked the driveway. And she had gone out and like grabbed a saw and was like, well, I guess I'm going to try to do something here. And as she got out to the front of the driveway, two vehicles pulled in and like 10 guys pop out of these vehicles with all this equipment. And they're just like, you know, we're going around and we're going to clean up everything for you. And it's these stories of people helping the helpless, where some people are on this side where they're like, I don't even know where to begin to take care of what is in front of me. And other people step in, come out of nowhere, and help right in the midst of that need. And that truly is the best of humanity. We all smile when we hear those stories. And as much as we like to be the helper in those times, like we feel great when we get to be the person who brings that help to somebody. Take a moment right now and think about a time when you have been the receiver of that assistance. When you've been in a situation maybe that felt impossible, and somebody showed up and came through and met your need for you in a way that you could have never done for yourself. Perhaps you're in a financial bind and somebody gave you an anonymous gift. Or maybe it was as simple as you were out to eat and forgot your wallet or your purse and somebody else paid for the meal or the server said, don't worry about it, it's on the house. And they just let you off. Maybe you've had that, you know, something went on with your physical health. You weren't able to shovel the snow on a big snowstorm. You weren't able to mow your lawn. And without even asking, neighbors took care of your yard, took care of your driveway for you. Maybe it was in the middle of this storm. You've experienced, just like I've described, people coming together and helping you in a way that you could have never taken care of. You can't pay them back, but you've simply received that assistance. And I want you to answer me now or put in the chat window, how has that made you feel when you've been on the receiving end of somebody's assistance? How does it make you feel? Grateful. Loved. What else? Blessed. I felt very relieved at times, like, oh, I don't know how I could have taken care of this, but I don't have to now. Right? These are the feelings that we create in the person who's being helped. And what I want to say is, aren't those the feelings that this world needs now more than ever? And so that's why today we're going to be talking about mercy, because mercy is when you're helping somebody who cannot help themselves. And so the premise today is what the world needs now is mercy. And when we think about mercy, it really is an interesting word. It's got a pretty broad range of meanings. When I was a kid, I had a game that I played with my brother called Mercy. Maybe some of you are familiar. You lock fingers, and the goal is to bend back their wrists until the loser has to scream out, Mercy, in pain, and the victor stops inflicting the pain. So to me, mercy meant stopping the infliction of pain on somebody else. In Christian circles, there's been a very popular definition where that floats around between the difference between mercy and grace. And they would say, so grace is a gift given that you have not earned, and mercy is a consequence that you do deserve that has been withheld. So salvation is a grace for salvation is grace freely given to you. It's a gift. Whereas mercy would be like not having to face the consequence of going to hell. And while I've thought that that word was what I was going to preach today, in fact, as I started looking in some Bible dictionaries and doing some research, I was like, oh, it's really not that clear cut at all. You see, there's multiple Hebrew words that can get translated as mercy in the Old Testament, multiple New Testament words. And it depends on which translation of the Bible that you're reading and how any of these words get translated. So where mercy might be the translation in one translation, you might in another see words like loving kindness or pity or compassion or grace or even faithfulness. It's really a big word cloud of all these things clustered together. And when we try to see, okay, what is mercy in particular, we like to here at Ashworth go to Jesus and say, okay, he's our model for everything. How does Jesus exemplify mercy to others? And we see this really in two categories. The first is where Jesus helps the helpless. We see often that it says he was moved to pity for people, or that he had compassion on somebody. These are the miracles. When he reaches out and he touches the lepers that everybody had to stay so far away from, he'd reach out and touch them and heal them of their leprosy. He feeds the 5,000 who are out in the wilderness, have no way of getting their next meal. They're just hungry and they're nowhere near food. And he has compassion, it says, and they feed the 5,000. There's all these stories of Jesus meeting needs and healing people. One commentary calls it, it is compassion in action. And I love that phrase. We see Jesus as he's teaching and preaching and moving throughout the area. We see him also living with compassion in action and meeting the needs of those who cannot help themselves. The second way we see Jesus showing mercy is through forgiving our sins. Ultimately, his final act for us, the reason he came, was to die on a cross to forgive us of our sins, to tear the veil, to make a way that we can become one with God again, that he can restore our connection to our Father. And ultimately, that's the big story of the mercy that Jesus shows to all of us by doing that. It's described in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. We were unable to do anything to choose him. We were dead in our transgressions. And in our helpless state, through his mercy, he made us alive with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. So even here you see grace and mercy playing together, really in the same act of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And like I was saying earlier, all of us have experiences of either helping the helpless or being the recipient of somebody's assistance. We've all extended or received mercy. Oftentimes, we show our mercy to our friends and our families. However, occasionally, like in this storm, we get to see these opportunities where people are showing mercy to complete strangers. And we love that because we're like, you know, you can't even be paid back for what you're doing and helping somebody who'll probably never see you again. But here's a question that we have to ask when we look at the Bible. Have any of you ever received mercy from an enemy? That somebody that you can't stand, that drives you nuts, you feel like you're at constant conflict with them. Have you ever felt like you've received mercy from an enemy? As I was thinking about that myself, I couldn't come up with a single situation where I've ever felt like I've received mercy. Somebody showed me compassion in my time of need from somebody that I was at odds with. And perhaps that's because the way your memories work is after they did that, I moved them from the category of enemy to friend. So maybe it's happened, but now I'm like, oh yeah, my good buddy Joe, and I forget Joe and I didn't get along so well back then. I don't know. But this is a situation I think we can all agree to is incredibly rare if we ever experience it at all. And yet it is a situation to which Jesus teaches a large group of people, and we read about this in Luke chapter 6, verse 32 through 36. So that's where we're going to turn in our passage today, where Jesus teaches us a thing or two about showing mercy to others. He says to the crowd, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." So when we look at this passage, we clearly see three ways that we are to show mercy to others. We've got this parallelism, I'm sure you picked it up, but it was a loving attitude and doing good and lending freely. First, when he says love others, to me that's that attitude of how you treat people, that kindness, compassion, or concern towards people. When you think of somebody's face in your mind, how do you respond? Is it with, ugh? Or is it like, okay, I'm okay with that person, I wanna help that person. That's having a love towards that person. Doing good, it's what you do for them, how you serve them. It's helping a person through action. That's another way to show mercy. It's the farmers coming in and cutting down the trees in the roads. They're doing good for complete strangers there. And finally, lending freely. It's what you give to people who are in a financial need. And the willing, it's one thing to say, hey, I'll give you a loan. And I gave you $100 and it's fine whenever you get back to it. But you're expecting $100 back. And Jesus is saying, no, it's different to say, here's $100 for your need. Don't worry about it. It's a gift. I don't ever expect it back. This is what Jesus is trying to teach here. And while we might look at this passage and we'd like to say, okay, this shows us how to be kind to one another, it's a lot more than that. It's more than just showing mercy to your friends and your neighbors. Yes, we are all supposed to do that. And part of being mercy to the world is showing mercy, kindness, compassion, and action to your friends and neighbors. Please, let's all do that. But as Jesus said three times, what's the big deal? Even sinners do that. That doesn't differentiate us from the rest of the world at all. Even people we think are total jerks, they still treat their friends and their family in kindness and compassion and concern. What Jesus is pointing out in this passage is that the truest form of mercy, the mercy that this world most needs, that will separate us as followers of Jesus from the rest of the world, is a mercy that can be shown to a stranger. Somebody who will never be able to repay you. They'll never be able to love you in return. They'll never be able to do good for you. They'll never be able to repay that gift that you give them financially. And even more than the stranger, he comes back and specifically says, are you willing to do this for an enemy? But love your enemies. Do good to them. And lend to them without expecting to get anything back. He takes all three of these ways of showing mercy and he says, not only for those who can't repay you, but even those you know and you don't like, that you are at odds with. Even find ways to show them mercy when they're in times of need. And this isn't to say that he's referring to a what goes around comes around kind of karma. I know some people like to say in America, we call it paying it forward. Well, I'll pay for the coffee behind me because I know someday the car in front of me will pay for my coffee. I'll be nice to this person because I know that we, even Christians, have this weird kind of spirituality, and it's nowhere in the Bible, FYI, if you believe this, that if I'm good to one person, somehow it'll come back to me and be returned. And Jesus is saying, no. When you show mercy to somebody, do it with no expectation of receiving anything back from anybody. Not to say that there's no reward at all, because he does go on to point out the reward. The reward, he tells us, is that we are going to receive it from our Heavenly Father in the goodness and the mercy that we receive from God Most High, and that we will be children of the Most High. That's where our reward comes from. We need to stop doing things thinking, well, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, or what goes around comes around, but saying, no, because I'm a child of God, this is what I do. And my reward is going to be much greater and grander than I ever imagined, but it's going to be something that I receive later. And ultimately, then, Jesus ends this section with his justification for why we should be merciful to our enemies. And it's because God, it says, is unmerciful to the ungrateful and the wicked. In Matthew, we see it says that God sends rain to both the righteous and the unrighteous. God gives his gifts and his beauty and this amazing creation to everybody. He is merciful to us all. And so, as children of God, we should be merciful just like our loving, compassionate, merciful Father. And now, as I walked through this passage, I'm sure I'm not alone with the feeling of, I know I'm supposed to do this. Yes, Ryan, everything you're saying sounds right, but it is so hard. I mean, I can be merciful, show love, do good, and lend to a stranger when they're in need. I can do that. As a Christian, I can say, you know what, I'm supposed to do this. But for some reason, you're probably like me, it's easier to show compassion, pity, and mercy on a stranger that has never hurt us than it is to an enemy that we're in conflict with. When we know that somebody is actively against us, it runs counter to our human instinct to be willing to step into that and say, I want to help when I see that you're down. And the question is, why is it so much easier for us to help a stranger than to help somebody we know, albeit in a contentious relationship? And I believe the answer to that question is our unforgiven anger and resentment that we hold towards those people. And it's that unforgiveness that leads us to feeling, well, that person isn't worthy of my help. They get what they deserve. The fact that they're in a bind right now isn't my problem. They did that to themselves. And we start to justify all these reasons why it's not up to us to step in and help that person, that we don't have to get involved. We think, you know what, this is their problem. But Jesus tells us that's not good enough. That's how everybody else in the world functions. I'll help my friends, but I won't help my enemies. And he's saying, if you follow me, then you need to show mercy even to your enemies. After all, that's what he did for all of us on the cross. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans 5, chapter 8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were apart from God, Christ died for us. You see, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us before we ever took a single step toward God. And if he had been waiting for us to make things right, to no longer be his enemy, to no longer be sinners, then we would still be sitting in a situation far from God with no way to ever come close to him, with no way to ever communicate and have him be able to speak back and forth through our prayer, with no Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. But God didn't do that. He showed mercy even to us while we were his enemies, far from him, not following him, not caring about him in any way whatsoever. And so right now, I want to take a moment for us to walk through how we can go through the process of showing mercy to somebody that we feel is kind of, we don't trust them. You know, we wouldn't outright normally call somebody an enemy, but we definitely know that that person's not friend. And the way we start is we have to first identify who are those people in our lives. We have to reflect and say, who is our enemy right now? Who are the people that when I think of them, I don't trust them? They've hurt me. I struggle to ever say a kind word about this person. If they were like fell off their bicycle across the street, I would probably look the other way and keep walking. Like, who's that person in your life that you need help from God to be able to show mercy and compassion on? Think about that person right now. Now that you have that person in mind, I want you to, we have to release that anger. As long as you're angry at that person, as long as you feel like, you know what, I don't trust them, I don't want to do anything good for them, I don't want them to experience anything good in their own lives, then we're not able to forgive them. We're not able to say that they're forgiven. And so to release the anger and the resentment, we have to ask God to allow us to forgive that person. So right now, as you're thinking about who that person is that you're at odds with, and I will say, when you say, who's your enemy? That enemy right now, this morning, could even be a family member or a friend. Because isn't it funny that how we can sometimes take somebody that we're the closest to, and in a moment we can make them out to be somebody who's against us? It's just something in our human nature. So when I say enemy, it doesn't have to be like the big bad wolf, you know, that we've had this cosmic struggle against. It could be somebody that you're just in conflict with right now. But let's take a moment and let's ask God to forgive us. Or to forgive, allow us to forgive that person in our lives. Bow your heads and just say a prayer of forgiveness right now for that person. And as we forgive that person, and we say, you know what? As God's forgiven us, I forgive that person. We let that anger and resentment go. It doesn't mean that our feelings for them completely change and we let down all barriers and let them walk all over us again. But we have to let the anger go. The next step to being able to show mercy to an enemy is to first receive something for ourselves. Not something from the person that we need to show mercy to, because that may never happen. But we first need to receive that mercy from God. So take a moment now to focus on the great mercy and forgiveness that God has shown to you. As he's wiped away all your sins, all those terrible things you've done that you regret, he no longer holds them in his memory. He does not think less of you because of that. He's released it all. He has shown you mercy in your own life. Now take a moment to receive that mercy from God. And finally, the last step in this process is to respond. We now, after we've released the anger, we've released the resentment, we've reminded ourselves of the mercy that God has shown us. We say, God, I need you to allow me the strength to show mercy to those who have hurt me, to those who are my enemy, to go out and be merciful to others, not expecting them to ever repay me. And it's important at this point that I let you know, there's no right way to show mercy. It's not like you have to go out and actively do a random act of kindness for that person. That's not what this message is about. Maybe there's not a moment to show mercy to that person right now because they're not down and out. They're not in a place of being helpless. And that's what mercy is. It's showing help to the helpless, compassion and action for those who are in a pitiable position. But maybe right now your act of mercy can simply be praying for that person and saying, God, I just pray for this person because of the anger I see, the disunity, the struggle that I see in this person's life. I pray for them that you'd allow them to release it. I don't know what mercy for you towards that person looks like. What I do know is it never means allowing yourself to be a doormat that is walked on by somebody who continually hurts you. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I am saying is it's between you and God to figure out what can you showing mercy to an enemy look like. And saying, God, give me the strength to be willing to do that, to follow the example that Jesus has set for me. And then when that moment occurs, when that person does need compassion, in action, when they need you to show them unearned mercy, perhaps you can turn that enemy into a friend. Hopefully you can bring all those positive feelings that we talked about at the beginning of this message of relief and gratefulness and love and gratitude, that you can usher those feelings into their heart by doing a kind thing in the moment of their greatest needs. And if none of that happens, then you'd never become friends with them. You can still rest easy in knowing that you're doing what God has asked you to do. He said, be merciful as I am merciful. In the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are those who show mercy, for they shall receive mercy. And this week, I want to hear stories from you about how your mercy to strangers and even those unlovable people in your life has made a difference in others and in maybe even in your relationships with those people. Can you imagine if from Ashworth there was a wave of mercy that went out from our congregation through the world around us? Mercy to our family and friends when they do small things to offend us. Yes, we absolutely need to show much more mercy to everybody around us. This world needs less easily offended people and people who swallow it and say, you know what? You screwed up, you made me mad, and I'm gonna show you mercy for that offense and forgive you. The world needs us to show mercy to strangers, to those who may never repay us, that we may never know their name and we may never come across them again. But just that kindness in times of needs, wherever we see that in front of us, to go out of our way and to show love, to do good, to lend freely, to pay the bill for somebody who doesn't have enough money to pay for everything in their shopping cart. That's what this world needs right now. And that last step beyond friend and stranger is the ultimate challenge. Is this world needs people that we stop fighting with our enemies. And we release the anger, we release the resentment, and we say, God, I can't be in this fight anymore. Allow me to show mercy to this person. I don't owe it to them, they don't deserve it, and they'll probably never pay me back. But allow me to show my belief in you, Jesus, my willingness to follow you anywhere and any way, and that I'm willing to do this thing that is so hard. And think of how this community could be impacted and transformed. And those feelings that we can bring to hundreds of people if everybody in our congregation this week goes out and says, I want to actively show mercy to somebody else. We can bring feelings of gratefulness and joy and happiness and contentment and relief all around us. And now, here's the best part of your homework. Tell the person next to you who you're thinking you'd like to show mercy to, or say, in a week, I'm gonna ask you who you showed mercy to. Or maybe text somebody if you're, you know, not here with somebody, or you're online, text somebody and say, my homework this week is to show mercy to a stranger or even an enemy. Ask me about this in a week. Because otherwise, we're gonna go from here and we're gonna say, I should show mercy. And then life is going to hit us and we're gonna be anxious and tired like all of us are experiencing, and we're gonna fail to follow through on this. So have some accountability, talk to somebody about this, ask that person about it a week from now and see how we are doing at bringing the mercy of God to our community all around us.